Hello everyone and welcome to the Recovery Cast. I'm Ron, my partner in doing these interviews is Dave, and today we give you an interview with Mahmoud from Iran. The Recovery Cast is a podcast for people in recovery, and since Dave and I are longtime NA members, we're primarily interested in stories told from an NA member's point of view. But of course, the podcast is not affiliated with NA itself, and we do not speak for NA or anyone else. Visit NA.org and your local NA meeting for the real thing. A few months ago, we interviewed both Siamak and Mahmoud from Iran, along with some European members who had visited Iran and had some pretty amazing stories to tell. We published the interviews with Siamak and the visitors as episodes 4 and 5. But we decided to wait on Mahmoud until we began to work on episodes related to the efforts of some of the zonal forums around the world that are engaged in some pretty amazing fellowship development. Those of us involved with fellowship development, or outreach as it has sometimes been called, know the challenges associated with getting a new NA meeting off the ground. To put that in perspective, however, listen to this sample of today's show, where Mahmoud is talking about the Iranian Fellowship's FD efforts with a newly emerging fellowship in Afghanistan.
Mashhad is one of the Afghanistan and Iran border, and we go by the road, not airplane. That road from Mashhad to Herat, some kind of a terrorist road, you know, and from Kabul and Herat is too dangerous by road. When we do workshop in Herat, people must come to Herat. It's too dangerous for them. And we were praying for them, really, to God help us. Even in 2012, after finish our trip, there is bombing. There were bombing somewhere in Kabul.
I guess I'll stop complaining now about the challenges we face in our local fellowship where I live. When he talks about heading under a bridge on the streets of Kabul where the practicing addicts are living and dying, with food under one arm and cigarettes under the other, carrying NA literature they had translated from Farsi to Urdu to tell them directly about the hope that awaits them if they come to the new NA meeting, and as he talks about their PR efforts, where they knocked on the doors of the mullahs in charge in his country and won over their hearts and minds about our spiritual, not religious approach, you'll get a picture of just what kind of service led to the successes the fellowship there has had. Mahmoud is a large presence in every sense. His face beams with love, and he can't wait to give you a big hug and give you either encouragement or appreciation or whatever he feels for you. Consider this exchange he had with me as we were saying hello and getting ready for the interview. He and I had had a conversation in Bahrain in 2005 about a member there whom Mahmoud felt had tarnished the name of NA in the eyes of the local authorities by some of his behavior. Here is Mahmoud's way of telling me he appreciated my input that day.
You have to excuse me and tell them because of my language. You know, my first language is Farsi. I learned English in NA, and then I was using in the street. Ron, we have some guys, he go to many ministry and go to public and put the shit in the NA and said, I bring NA and I have a rehab center and blah, 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 and make money and put the shit to the NA. You tell me and told me I use your language and where he put the shit, better you take a nap, napkin and clean up. Do you remember?
No.
Listen, I do that. What's happened is, everywhere he put the shit and I go and clean. I use this kind of a language in my workshop. Even last week, one of PR guys asked me about the people who use any name and put the shed. I said, go and clean up and show yourself and say, I am a PR. And thank you for this thing you learned me.
Well, you're welcome.
And then I said, well, I remember one time I asked Ron from World Service this kind of a question. He answered me this, and I do that, and everything is cool. That's why you are very famous.
Very nice. So he shits, you clean it up, and life is good. I guess being the author of Put the Shit beats No Legacy at all. Anyway, we had lots of audio difficulties trying to interview Mahmoud on his smartphone in Iran, but they got better after we gave up trying and took it up again the next day from his office. There was a lot of that old commercial, "Can you hear me now?" going on, which we have edited out, and we've done our best to stitch together the conversations from both days. So here you go. Meet Mahmoud, who found N.A. in Iran when there was a single group that carried the message to him in the jail, and who went on to be one of the driving forces of the growth in N.A. there.
My name is Mahmoud. I'm an addict. I live in Tehran, Iran. I started using when I was 13 years older, and I use more than 20 years very heavy drugs, and I lost everything, same as many people. After 3 years, when I was using very hard drugs, I start to clean and live like a normal people. But it took me 17 years and I couldn't find anything to help me. I've been 10 times jail, rehab, mental hospital. I tried to kill myself. And 19 years ago, when I was in jail, and addiction was crime at the time. And some addicts go to the jail and ask, please catch me, I'm an addict. I'm one of those. And I was thinking, stay in the jail is better for me.
Through the audio difficulties that began here, he said that the members from the single group that was meeting 3 times a week in Tehran started coming into the jail and brought a meeting.
And one day, I attended that meeting. I listened to them. Actually, I didn't like them because one of those people talking about alcohol, that is very good experience for me for now when we send some people to H&I panel and they don't say about alcohol, heroin, and drugs. Because I think he said alcohol, I was using heroin, and I think it's different. And I told him when I want to stop using, I start alcohol. Alcohol is nothing. Anyway, when I come from jail, just curious, and something pushed me to the only one NA meeting in Tehran. It was 19 years ago.
All right, so if I understand you right, back then, even 19 years ago, they had a H&I effort, even though they only had one meeting in Iran, and that...
Yeah. NA in Iran is started by H&I. I just come to NA meeting, listen to story, and little bit relate to me, but you know, I couldn't clean. I tried to clean many times. I was using and go to the meeting. I was most important guys for 2 years. When they talk about me, they said, which Mahmoud? They said, Mahmoud relapse. Even now, they call me Mahmoud relapse, and I really like this.
Then, what is your clean date, Mahmoud? When did you finally clean?
Yeah, finally, I go one time to the rehab center and come back, go to see some of my NA friends, and my obsession is disappear somehow. It was 13 January 1999. Next month is my 17 years anniversary.
Oh, great.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God.
What kind of PR service did you guys do?
At the first, we were only use H&I, but you know, you need to communicate with some government to let you go to the jail when actually you need some place for rent. You need some people to go and talk with landlord, with the government to rent a room. I remember, you know, when I got clean, before I got clean, I was swear to God, if you help me with this, I put all my life to the NA. And I was do that, but in my way, you know, I'm a newcomer, only clean, and so many people like me. We were 20 people, nobody work a step. We don't have any book, we don't have any guidelines, nothing. We start to fighting. After some people is starting to translate the book, they have some problem with the translation, and very soon, NA, only one group of NA in Iran split to two groups. And that kind of a fight, tradition fighting, drive us to find some way to grow up and solve the problem. One of the things I do, I send a letter to the vote service, and the guy answer me was Steve Sigman. He learned me so many things. He told me, it's no problem. You are two group and you don't want to be one. But working together, only working together. And we start to create our service structure. First, translation committee. And then we try to do some public information. And we start working together. And then also I contact with World Service. They send some literature, like old literature for public information. Don't. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah. And we use that one. We try to carry the message to addict and people. We give them pamphlet. We tell them what is NA, what we do, where we are, and it's working. Many addicts starting to come, many people, many ministry, drugs, promotion, health ministry, country ministry come ask and curious, what is NA? And little bit by little bit, with the guide of board service, we start to grow up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just went out and found addicts on the street. You found people, addicts in jail. You found ministries, government officials, anyone else, and you just let them know about NA, and you found them very interested, very curious about it.
Listen. Nobody believed that. What is a reality of my country? Addiction was crime in Iran. Now is a disease. And one of those I don't use make understand to our government, addiction is disease. But it is. Now in my country, addiction is disease. And we are changing law. We don't do any political things. We just let them to know who is an addict, what is addiction, what is narcotic anonymous, and
tell them our story, you know, and law is changed right now in Iran. Addiction is disease.
Mahmoud, you talked about having to approach the government when you would want to start a meeting in the public realm or in jails and institutions. What was the resistance? What hesitation and reluctance did you run into on behalf of the government?
At the first, we have many challenges with Iranian government. You know, where we are very young and new and few people. We just go very hard to meet them, knock the door and meet them and talk to them and explain about addiction, explain about who we are. And when we explain about where Narcotic Anonymous come from, some of them, they don't really like to hear USA, but we just mentioned them about Turkish country, about Bahrain, about some Islamic country who use Narcotic Anonymous.
Okay.
And then little bit by little bit, they believe us. Yeah. It's very nice. You know, when election time for Iranian president, four candidates come to public information when I was chair. One of them asked me to come to your office. They told me Narcotic Anonymous is so big. Narcotic Anonymous have good people. I can hear. I know you people looking for room for meeting. I know you people try to carry the message to addict. We can help you after re-electing. I told them from Narcotic Anonymous, thank you. Thank you very much. We love to go vote. We are going, our people, responsible for our country, but we can't take any position because we are not political. If we take you, we are very, thank you very much, but we can't. Just like that. And they are very happy. And they know Iranian, any people, not take any political position.
This is so interesting that within a 20-year period of time, the government turns around and wants NA's endorsement in a presidential campaign.
So, Mahmoud, I've got a question for you. Your fellowship began to take on fellowship development with some of your neighbors. I mean, you had experience with fellowship development internally in Iran because it started in Tehran, and then as it started other places, you helped them. But then when NA got very strong in Iran, would you just tell us about that, about some of the neighbors that you worked with and what you did there?
In 2008, there were five Afghan addict people come to our meeting in Tehran. And one of my sponsees, Saeed, sponsoring them, and they told him they will go back to Afghanistan, and he encouraged them to go start NA meeting in Afghanistan. And also Saeed asked me, Siamak, to talk with World Service, Anthony and Betty to help them. And 2010, five people starting NA meeting in Kabul. 2011, they asked for help. We send the two travelers, cooperate with NAS, APF, and Iran. There were 35 people at the time, and some people for lunch coming, some using addict people come for lunch. We hold 3 days, 3 days workshop with them, and again, very basic workshop, like atmosphere of recovery, like a basic PR and HNI. And 2012, we go again and try to learn them some PR, we go to some ministry, we go to some hospital, we go to some rehab center, we go to drugs promotion, we go to UN and tell them about Narcotic Anonymous and what we do, what we are, where we are, and some history. In 2013, we go again to Herat, and Kabul and Herat and getting together, the members. And in 2013, they create for first time the service structure. And because of, you know, poor country and traveling too hard because of also because of Tanger Road, they hold the regional meeting by Skype. 2014, again, we go to two cities, Herat and Kabul. And at the time, there were 200 people attending to the meeting, to the workshop. And 2015, 2 months ago, we do fellowship development in three cities, Mazar Sharif, Kabul, and Herat, and they have in Ghaznin and another city. Now they are 1,000 people. Also, they have a delegate. Last year, they sent Afghan delegate to APF.
This might be a good spot to give you a little glossary of acronyms for those who may not be familiar with them. APF is the Asia-Pacific Forum, a zonal body covering all of Asia and some other places. The main function of these large zonal bodies is fellowship development, or FD. This involves any engagement with emerging communities that might help them to get established and grow. NAS, of course, is Narcotics Anonymous World Services.
They have PR committee, HNR committee. They have their own region service structure.
Oh, man. And that's all a joint effort between NAS, APF, and the Iranian Fellowship.
That's right. They use Farsi literature. And they ask for Urdu, and NAS help them to translate some IP by Urdu language for them.
Is that done? Do they have Urdu language IPs in their hands now?
No, not done yet. They just starting.
You were talking about some of the hardships they face in terms of the danger on the roads and the cold and stuff. Can you tell about that again?
Two time. I go from Mashhad, as Anthony suggests, as if you choose some traveler, find some people near by border. Mashhad is one of the Afghanistan and Iran border, and we go by the road, not airplane. That road from Mashhad to Herat, some kind of a terrorist road, you know. And from Kabul and Herat is too dangerous by road. When we do workshop in Herat, people must come to Herat. It's too dangerous for them. And we were praying for them, really, to God help us. Even in 2012, after finish our trip, there is bombing. There were bombing somewhere in Kabul.
So tell us about the types of workshops you held with them the last time.
You know, they are very clever, really. They really hungry for knowledge. We do 12 step, 12 tradition, 12 concept. How to make strong home group, sponsor and sponsee, and tool planning, actual planning for Afghanistan region. And they understand, they are very clever, it's very good. every time we go, we take some books because they use Farsi, some people. But some people, they have Urdu language, and they ask word service to translate IP by Urdu language. And I think word service, thank God, pay the money for translation from Farsi or English to Urdu.
How about Pashto?
Pashto from Pakistan. The next time we have to talk about Pakistan because you know, Pakistan is north and south, and we have a plan to go to Pakistan.
You have a plan, but you haven't been to Pakistan yet?
I go to Pakistan and buy some drugs.
How about Iraq? Is anything coming out of Iraq?
We have tried to start a meeting, and we are still trying. One of our good friends who have some position in APF, he living in Iraq, and we try to open any meeting in Iraq, inshallah. Right now, we don't have any meeting in Iraq, but soon.
But there is NA in Pakistan, right?
Yeah, South and North. You know, I think they are split, as I know. And you know, our experience for them is good experience because we were split in North and South before a long time ago. And we have some experience. I'm an APF FD chair right now.
Oh, I didn't know.
And yeah.
Can you just talk about that a little bit, about what FD efforts the APF is engaged in right now?
Yeah, you know, in 2007, I think me and CIAMAC suggest this kind of a service to APF. And every year, APF budgeting some money, which is not too much. I'm so sorry to tell you. Last year, we just have $6,000 for FD and 5 requests. Pakistan, Afghanistan, Malaysia, Indonesia, and one more city. 5 requests with only $6,000, which is not enough. We do two. One Bhutan right now is ongoing. Bhutan, you know, border with China and India. And we do Afghanistan, APF, NAS, and community cooperation with each other to help community who need help. And every year we put some budget for APF, and we have some requests for when any community asking for FD, they fill out everything what they need, and then choose which one is the first, and then going. Any community asking for FD trip, we can do that. Also, this year we try to create some space, some room in our APF website. We put some PowerPoints, and if they want to hold any workshop, they can use our PowerPoint.
Okay, so if you let's say you went to Bhutan, what would you do there?
They have a convention. They ask for some kind of a workshop, like a PR, HNI, and create strong home group, and also for planning. we sent two travelers from India, which is nearby Bhutan. They hold the workshop for them.
Okay. So when you go to do these fellowship development things, does NAS always send somebody, or do they usually not?
No. We send some people from APF and try to create some good PowerPoint, and NAS send some money for us and some literature.
Okay, so NAS helps fund, but they don't necessarily send the person.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like Afghanistan, like Pakistan, you know, this part of world is too big and huge. We have to use some people nearby, their culture is better, you know. I think for American, it's too dangerous to go to Afghanistan or Europe people.
Oh, which reminds me, would you tell us about you becoming the RD and coming to the conference? And then I know you had some trouble when you returned one time. Can you tell us about all of that?
You know, in Iran, we are the best NGO in all of Iran. And some people who have NGO and try to have rehab and or some other NGO to same like us, but not same or goal, always trying to attack NA. Even only 2 years ago, they give us our registration, Iran government. Always told us they are come from USA, this program for American. They have a step five, like a go to
confession.
Church. Yeah. Like this, you know, always Iran government look at us very carefully. When they know I go to US and come back, they catch me in the airport and ask me come to some, like a CIA, I don't know, service secret, and talk with me about when you go, who is your sponsor in US. They know everything about me. But you know, it's funny because I use that interviews like a PR things. I tell them everything and they are very respect, you know. Mm-hmm. Now they more believe in it.
So can you talk about your experience coming to the conference?
Oh my God. It's very good. Because a lot of good information, encourage, and see many people like us. And when I start to go to conference, I think I can find many experience, I can use many information, but yes, I find. But my experience good for conference also, you know, and we become to one global program. And thank God.
Yeah.
You know, one of community who suggests that tradition book in Iranian community, one of the country region asking for that book.
Here Mahmoud is referring to the fact that the Iranian Fellowship was one of the regions that asked for a book on the traditions as the next prioritized major literature project taken up by World Services after Living Clean, The Journey Continues. That project did get prioritized and was just approved at the World Service Conference in April. So he is noting that not only did his region's participation at the conference bring benefit to the region, he feels some pride in the fact that his region also brought some benefit to the Global Fellowship by their participation. He wouldn't get any argument on that.
How many basic texts have been sold in Iran, do you know?
Oh, you don't believe that. Let's talk about new book. Living Clean, 300,000 sold out finish. And I don't know, 600,000 or more basic texts.
When Living Clean was published, they had already been working on the translation using the approval draft. So it wasn't long before they had a Farsi version. For their first order, they ordered 300,000 copies. That sold out almost immediately.
Hey, Mahmoud, I know when you guys do workshops, you often ask this question, so I'm going to ask it to you. What's the best experience you've ever had doing FD, and what's the worst experience you've ever had?
I hope I'm not crying this time, for good and bad. You know, I do my 12-step, my own 12-step in the street. About 16 years, 15 and a half years, I do that every time. I take some pamphlet, who is an addict, what is Narcotic Anonymous, or Welcome to Narcotic Anonymous. And sometime I buy some food and bread and go to a street and carry the message to addict who is still suffering. This is my own 12-step working sometime. In Afghanistan, there is an area they call Bone Bridge. It's very famous. One bridge, under the bridge, many addicts living, dying, eating, using. And after finish my workshop in Kabul, I buy some pamphlet, some bread, and some cigarette. And I go to them and tell them about Narcotic Anonymous and give them some bread, some cigar, and carry the message, tell them no need to die, and blah, 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 and give them some pamphlet. Another year, some people come and hug me. He said, I was there. You come and give me pamphlet and address. The next year, the last year, also I go. And police catch me. They said, where are you from? I said, Iran. He said, okay. You come to this bridge, many addicts come up. If you want to come with me in the police or go under bridge. I said, okay, I go under bridge with them. It's very dark and very scary, but not for me. And the other day, in middle of workshop, some police coming, where are you from? What are you doing? He said, we are from blah, 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 blah. They said, oh, you have a tourist visa. Fuck you. Give me your passport. I said, my passport in my hotel. Sit down, have a seat, have a tea. After finish, we go. 10 minutes, he sit in middle of our workshop. After 10 minutes, he started crying and tell me, thank you very much, I go. And the next day, Vice President, Mr. Sarwar Danish, Afghanistan, first Power Minister of Afghanistan, find out some NGO by the name is Narcotic Anonymous come to Afghanistan. He sent some people to us and ask us to go to that kind of a ministry. We go and talk with them about the NA. And he really expect, and he really promised to us to help NA in Afghanistan. And he do that. Right now, they are working for registration.
That is the Vice President
who listened to their PR presentation, is now helping them get established with the authorities as a legal entity. In many countries, this is a critical step in the development of the fellowship because it gives them the standing they need to get meeting places and operate freely in the country. So with that, we said our goodbyes. I had first met Mahmoud in Bahrain in 2005 at a fellowship development event that NAS was putting on at the time. He is a large, loving presence, and it's easy to see why he is so effective, not just with the addicts under the bridges, with his bread and cigarettes and NA pamphlets in hand, but with the authorities and his sponsees and his home fellowship. It was good to see him again. Yeah, well, I love you, Mahmoud.
I love you too, guys.
I wish I could see you more and give you a hug.
Inshallah.
But, inshallah, God willing. You hear it everywhere in the Middle East.
Inshallah,
it will happen. They haven't yet figured out with technology how we can give you a hug while you're still in Iran, but maybe next time.
Inshallah.